Item number four is a subdivision rezoning for 401 Pandora Avenue, Avenue West, under file DASZ 36 of 2011, and in accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Item number five is a variance for 401 Pandora Avenue West, under file DAV 159343 of 2011-D.
All right. We have, again, if you haven't filled out a registration form, please do so. Registered in support is the applicant as Daniel Serhall. Mr. Serhall, hi. Would you like to come forward? And I got another one here that says, okay, so do these gentlemen join you at the same time, Nathan Eisbrenner and Vince Pisano, or are you?
Sure.
Okay. All right. For sure.
So I just have some copies of photos.
You can pull up a third chair there if you need one. And just one moment, please, while we kind of get organized here. Okay, if I could get each of you to introduce yourselves and just state your name and address for the record, please. And
Daniel
you need to
Serhall.
speak in the microphone, sorry.
Daniel Serhall, I'm the architect hired for this project. My firm, Daniel Serhall Architecture, was hired by Vince's firm to design something for this site.
And your address?
And my address is Suite 102 at 990 Lorimer Boulevard.
Okay, and Nathan...
My name is Nathan Eisbrenner. I work for Danny. Same address, I guess.
Lorimer Boulevard? Okay.
My name is Vince Pisano. I'm with Andis Homes, the developer for this site. Address is 101-990 Lorimer.
Okay. All right, gentlemen, go ahead. You technically have up to 10 minutes each, but that would give you 30 minutes.
All right.
So, but
well,
if you, so.
You each have a package of some images that we prepared a couple of weeks ago. These the first few images are pictures of this site that is currently zoned light industrial M1. And A&S Homes and my office responded to the expression of interest put out by the city to make proposals for this site, because this is the city's own site, and they wanted to sell the site. And so we came up with some designs, and we were the winning proponent. And so what we have done is tried to design something that is low-density residential and housey in scale. So if you flip past the first four or five images, it shows you what the site looks like today. And then you get to a site plan. This site plan was the basis of our original application. And then after that, there's some renderings of the project that we have designed for the site and what the site would look like, or let's say an artist's impression of what the site would look like when we're done. Obviously, this is what we want to build. And we're looking to build townhouses that would suit the neighborhood, that would be housey in style, housey in build. We're not looking to build apartment buildings or big concrete blocks or anything like that. We're looking to build something that's wood frame, pitched roof, door on the street, garage out back type residences. And, obviously, we want to get quite a few onto this property. There's 72 in total. And every unit has its own little garage at the back that would enter off of the alley. And there would be green space in between each building that would allow people to enter and exit their own unit, and allow them to walk to the street and to the bike path that's been built along Pandora and the sidewalk that's there. This site has really, really good transit access. It's very suited to this scale of development. Pandora is a very busy street, and so This is something that is suitable to that sort of density and traffic flow. On the opposite side of the street, as you can see by one of the images I included there, there's a pallet factory, because you know, this, as you know, borders right on the industrial district. I believe it's called the Transcona Rail Yards Industrial District or something like that. And so this site, you know, being at that location, is zoned industrial, and we want to turn it into something that is low-density residential. I think it should be noted that the density that we are proposing is, well, the city's bylaw has three levels of multifamily density, RMFS, RMFM, RFML. You guys know this very well. The lowest density in multifamily is RMFS, and that would allow us to build, I think, 88 or 90 units. We're much lower than that.
Could you just pull the microphone closer to you? There's folks complaining they can't hear.
Oh, so. Sorry.
That's all right.
So the idea is that we would build a very low-density multifamily project. That's the idea. So that's where we're ending up with townhouses and something that is fairly low-density in nature. We're not looking for multi-level apartment buildings. We're not looking for underground parking or anything like that. The nature of the variances that we have asked for are strictly to pull the buildings as far away from the residences to the north as possible. So where the front yard along Pandora would normally be 20 or 25 feet, depending on the zoning classification, we're asking for a variance to 8 feet, so we can push these buildings as close to Pandora as practical. We can't really push them any closer because hydro lines have to be buried in the ground there, and we'll need 2 or 3 meters to have that at that location. So 8 feet was as close to, we would have put it closer to Pandora. You know, we're trying to pull it away from the neighbors as much as possible, but there's going to be hydro lines buried under the south side of the property. So there was nothing, we couldn't push it any farther forward, is the idea. We did look at some other options. You may notice in the planner's report there was a previous application that we actually withdrew, where we applied to put, I think it was 96 units in apartment-style configuration with surface parking. We looked at that, and we looked at the nature of the neighborhood, and we actually, before we even took that to the open house, we decided that it wasn't the right way to go. So we actually reduced the number of units that we originally had planned on to go with a more housey-style development as opposed to a more apartment-style development. The project also, I think it should be noted, fits within the developable envelope of an R1 district. So, Nathan here, if you want to grab those boards, we can have a quick look at those. The developable envelope of standard residential district is, you know, you can 25 rear yard, 25 foot rear yard, 20 foot front yard, and 35 foot building height. So we took that as our goal to fit within what a normal house would be permitted to fit in. So Nathan's going to be our van of weight for this evening.
Okay.
Why don't you just go through the images one at a time? We'll get to that one at the end.
You can lean them on the table here if you want in the front so we can see them. Are a lot of them the same as the images we have
before
us?
Yeah, they're basically the same
okay.
as what we have before you.
All right.
You can see that that's looking across the street.
Right.
Next. This is what the site looks like right now. There's an abandoned one-story building. Because it's an industrial site, buildings are allowed to be built to the zero lot line in an M1 district, so they're built right up against the rear alley.
Okay.
And they've been derelict for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, so covered in graffiti and broken windows. And
right.
This is an image looking west. You can see that down the back alley, it's basically garage parking, garage parking, garage parking. There's about, I think there's maybe four or five people that have fences up the back alley, but for the most part, it's parking stall, garage, parking stall, parking stall, garage, parking stall. So that's the nature of the alley right now. This is what the site will look like when we're done with it. Upside down. Well, I guess technically it's Yeah, so that's the area. You can see that on the south side is a massive industrial park, and on the north side is single-family residential. And east and west, it's mixed commercial. There's some residential mixed with one, two-story commercial buildings with parking lots and so on. Next. So that's what the west elevation will look like. You can see that we're trying to make it housey. That's what we're replacing. This is one view from the back lane looking through. You can see that there's the pallet factory on the far side, and that's the landscaped area in between the buildings that we're trying to just create a pedestrian atmosphere from the alley forward. And yeah, you can go to the next one. So the as you can see by our site plan, the spaces between the garages, some of them have parking stalls, some of them have handicap stalls, some of them have some landscaping. So that's what we're trying to break it up a little bit. Next. Skip that one. So that's, again, just seeing the site. That's the other end of the site. So some people back on the one-story wood frame building, some people back on the two-story concrete building, and some people back on this derelict yard. I guess it was used to store forestry equipment and snow plowing machines and things like that. So that's what the space between the buildings look like in a spot where we don't have parking stalls between the garages. And skip that one, and let's go to the last one here. So this is just a diagram showing what's there now, what would be permitted under two sample zoning categories. One is M1, which is the current zoning category. So the current zoning category would permit you, without having this hearing, to have a building up to five stories and to build to the right to the back alley. So right now, for example, the existing building is built right to the back alley. There's a concrete wall right on the back alley. Under residential, you're not allowed to do that. So so you can see that blue box represents what would be permitted without any rezoning, without any variances. It's a five-story building and zero lot line. So what we're proposing is obviously far less onerous than that, and actually is less onerous even than a residential single family. So the green represents R1. So what would be permitted under R1 would be 35 feet high, 25-foot rear yard, and a 13.5-foot garage. So our garage is shorter than that. Our house, our building is no taller than that, and it's actually farther forward to keep it as far away from the rear properties as possible. The properties along Melrose are a lot of bungalows and bi-levels, and there's a couple of two stories thrown in there too. And the rear property lines of them, as I said before, are by and large parking stall, garage. I think that was it.
Okay. Did anybody else have anything to add at this point? No? Okay. You've read the planner's report?
Yeah, we did. We didn't.
And the ACG report?
Yeah, it was. There were some things in here that caught us by surprise that we hadn't previously been made aware of. So I think I'll let Vince speak to those on page 17 of the ACG report. There's the items relating to servicing requirements and payments.
On page 17, items number 3 and 4. Item number three speaks about the current bike path that's constructed on Pandora, and it's looking for a contribution to the cost or payment of the cost of that bike path. And item number four speaks about the rear lane and widening of the rear lane. The nature of this project is this is a brownfield, and we have committed to come in and tear down the buildings and clean up the contamination. It is quite an old site. There's some extensive costs in us to develop the site the way that it is, and we don't feel that there's the ability for us to pay for a path that already exists on the property and to widen the public lane. This kind of caught us a bit by surprise. We weren't aware that this was going to be requested of us.
Mm-hmm. So item three, which is the number three, the developer shall pay for the bike path, which is already constructed, at a linear rate of $250 a meter, and then the second being the So the Portland concrete cement lining the public lane abutting the north side of the planned area to result in the pavement. Okay. You have 2 feet. Your building garages are set back 2 feet from the lane, right?
That's correct.
So you will be, I'm assuming, you're going to be building a pavement over that 2 feet to get into the garage, correct?
Of course. So, I mean, every garage would have its own driveway. Every parking stall would have its own connection to the aisle.
Right.
Or to the aisle, sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, in essence, you know, our construct will be widening the alley by a minimum of 2 feet. I guess the question, again, this caught us by surprise. We didn't have time to really investigate the existing condition of the alley and whether it actually is right on the property line or not. I don't know.
And then the other part of that was the second part of number four was concrete cement, the lane, condition of the lane, depending on the condition, they want you to replace the lane. That's the other issue.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. The property is 900 feet in length, and repaving the entire back lane is, I guess, in our opinion, it's an extraordinary request for a project of this nature.
Okay. The administration also mentioned to me the item number one, that the water and sewer, there's an easement required. They're asking for 6 meter, but in fact, 5 meters is what's typically required for something like that. Are you aware of that, or?
We are, and we actually designed the project specifically to accommodate it.
Accommodate what, 5 meters or 6 meters?
I thought that the EOI that was put up by the city did in fact say 6 meters. I could be wrong. I know that we referenced the EOI from the city that said there was an easement on this property and it was located in such a location, so we made sure the buildings were actually broken up at that location. If it has to be 6 meters, I'm sure we can accommodate it. Obviously, it would be better for everybody if it was five.
Yeah.
So if there was some specific information available, I could speak to that.
Did you want to have anything to add to this, Kate? Because you were the one who mentioned it to me. Yeah, your setbacks or your internal spacing is, I think, 25 feet.
28
feet.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's beyond.
So we actually designed it so that the split in the building landed right at the easement. So
I see. Okay.
We knew it was there.
So item number one is not an issue then.
No, sir.
In that sense. Okay. All right. And you're aware as well in terms of what they're asking for in item number five, which is that a sidewalk be constructed on the west side of, on the east side of Hoka from Melrose to Pandora. It doesn't exist right now?
Yes, we're aware of that.
Okay, you're fine with that?
Yeah, we are. Actually, we would have made it anyway because three units come out at that location. People need somewhere to go from the front door, so.
But you're also aware that this is taking the sidewalk through to Melrose, right? So it's along the easement of the other house there too, right?
I didn't realize that. I thought it was from the alley to Pandora.
No, Melrose West to Pandora West is what it reads. Because you can't really. The problem is, right? Is you build a sidewalk, you can't build it to a back lane. That's the issue. It has to go somewhere typically. So. Anyway, we can talk about that. Mm-hmm. I'll ask you to come back up because there are folks who register in opposition, so you'll want to respond to them. Okay. Was there anything else, gentlemen, that you had at this point? Again, you'll have an opportunity to come forward again and speak. So I don't have any questions. Okay. Any other questions? No? Seeing none. Thanks very much. Yeah. Anybody else who is... registered in support of this matter who wishes to speak or to be registered in support? Anybody else registered in support of this matter who wishes to speak? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to call those now registered in opposition of this matter. The first person I have registered in opposition is Dallas Moat. Dallas Moat. Mr. Moat, could you come forward and state your name and address and you have up to 10 minutes as well. Hi.
Yes, my name is Dallas Moat. I'm with Target Products out of Abbotsford, British Columbia. I would like to, first of all, I'd like to clarify one point. We're not in a lower opposition to this, and I'll explain the reasons. We're certainly not in opposition to development and construction. So that's our business, and we're not normally in opposition to it. But we've been looking for property in Manitoba to develop a manufacturing plant here for several years, and we have manufacturing plants in Montreal, Toronto, Edmonton, Calgary, Saskatoon, Regina, and Vancouver, well, actually in Abbotsford. Typically, these plants employ anywhere from 10 to 150 people, and we're in the manufacture of concrete products and also certain types of filtration, sands, and shotcrete products for mining. Our company is a Canadian company, but we're bought out by an American company, Quikrete, which operates 100 plants across the United States. One of our objectives is to run, you know, in harmony with neighbors. We are an industry. We do use trucks. We use B-trains. We use front-end loaders. We use dryers. And we're a manufacturing plant that does make some noise and employ people. Our concern about this project, we have an offer on this piece of land right across the street from this that's subject to close on Monday. And we just found out about this development a few days ago. We have a plant in Morinville, well, it's just outside of Edmonton, which we bought maybe 15 years ago. And about 10 years ago, or maybe sometime there, the piece of industrial land that was immediately behind us, which was some 50 acres, we went to the council there, and they wanted to make that into residential housing development. And we went and voiced our objections because we make noise, backup alarms on loaders, et cetera. And we did have caveats registered against the titles that we were a manufacturing firm and make noise. And people bought the houses, which is fine, and we get the complaints. So our concern is that we don't want to have complaints, and one of the reasons we looked at this piece of property and found it to be a desirable piece of property is about the right size we need. It's about 7 acres. We normally run on 10 acres or up, but 7 acres will work. It's right beside the CN Rail and well-serviced by CN Rail, and we do use rail cars. It's on an industrial street, on a truck route, and it's close to our aggregate source. And being as there's a M1 property across the street, we thought that was, you know, a good buffer zone. We also read the city's statement on Transcona, which says, evaluating new residential development proposals to ensure that existing industrial operations in the vicinity are protected. That sounded pretty good to us as we put the offer down. And the other one is restricting land use in industrial areas where warranted to industrial land users only in order to promote, which is just what I was talking about a minute ago, stability and predictability. So our concern is that if this development goes across the street, and I notice they've pulled the houses up to 8 feet off of Pandora, which just makes them even a little closer, we'll get complaints. And so it's certainly a problem that we're facing right now if this goes in as to what we're going to do on that site. So those are my concerns. And I also asked, ticked off the information section, because I wanted to know what types of construction techniques they'd be using to mitigate the noise problems that will ultimately develop. And it's also interesting to note that the railroad, and this is what we like to pick sites like this, the railroad operates right beside us, and they run diesel engines, as you know, 24 hours a day. I believe they're just spending something like $10 million retrofitting that yard. So you won't expect less rail engines there. You'll expect more. So those are my comments. Thank you, gentlemen, planners and counselors and administrator.
Before you go, what are your hours of business?
Well, as long as we possibly can, because sometimes in the summertime we like to run 24 hours a day.
you're aware there's noise bylaws in
the city? Yes, we're aware of that, so okay. We won't be able to run 24 hours a day there. So okay. We'll run to the maximum side on each end, which we've seen the bylaws. So.
And you say you have an offer right now on the land?
Yes, we do.
I see. Okay. And so when you were researching your sites, you didn't come across or you weren't aware that this site was sold by the city some time ago, conditional to rezoning?
No, we weren't.
Okay. All right. At the time, the research didn't, you weren't informed, I guess, that it was sold with the intent of looking at multiple family housing on the development of the site?
No, this came up recently for us.
I see. Okay.
And we do have a legal firm downtown that has been working with, you know, on our behalf on this for some time. So
yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyhow, that's our concerns, and you've heard them, and
sure,
we don't want to be a bad neighbor. That's for sure.
For sure, Mr.
Doesn't Wyatt. Help our business if we are.
No, fair enough. I've noted your register for information because we can only call folks up individuals up once. So I've noted you down in terms of an opposition column, but. Okay. This is your opportunity to speak, I guess, in that sense. So hopefully your questions will be addressed too when they have a chance to come back up again. So
thank you.
Thank you very much. Danny Spencer, registered in opposition. Aye.
Hi. Danny Spencer, I'm the solicitor for Dominion Pallet and Crate.
And your address?
I'm at 2200 201 Portage Avenue. They're located at 414 Pandora Avenue West,
okay.
Directly across from the proposed development.
Right.
I thought it'd be best if I give you sort of a background history, a brief one of what Dominion Pallet does. It's pretty evidential from their name that they create pallets and crates to be used for shipping, that sort of thing. So there is construction being done. There's lumber being chopped. They're in an M3 classification right now, and that's for heavy industrial. And they've been operating since 1994, so they've been there for quite a bit of time. And so the first reason why we're in opposition to this redevelopment is we think it's in contravention to the Transcona Yard Industrial Neighborhood Area Redevelopment Plan. I'm not sure how familiar you are. Dallas here spoke about Section 2.1 of that, which discusses sort of the general intent of the plan. And he focused on the stability and predictability. And for me, I think that means economic stability. So those who are operating in an industrial zone know that it's going to remain an industrial zone and they can continue on with their operations. And if down the road they want to sell it, the value is still there because things aren't changing around there. There's also some general policies and overall goals that are mentioned in this plan. I'd just like to read a few of the policies and goals for you. The first policy states that the general land use plan provides for policies that support continuing heavy industrial uses at the center of the site, and it mentions CN Rail activity, and also mentions encouraging a move to lighter, more moderate industrial and commercial activity at the periphery of the zone. And so when you look at what it is right now, you got M3, which is heavy, and where the city has its M1, which is sort of creating that buffer before you reach residential, and that's sort of the idea of what the city wants is to create a buffer so you don't have M3 right beside residential. It also states at C of the general policy at 2.2 that there are well-established industrial operations throughout the area, and the city should try not to restrict their operations and should allow their operations to continue. In particular, the city mentions here it has a greater interest in the general economic well-being of the city as a whole, and recognizes that the industries in the plan area are a great contributor to the economic well-being of the city. And there's a need to protect these industries from undue or unfair constraints. And lastly, the overall goals at 2.3 of the plan states the area redevelopment plan should allow existing industries to continue to operate and to protect the integrity of sort of the economic base of the city of Winnipeg. Also, I'm not sure if you're aware, but there are online some background research findings when they were creating the plan. And when they were creating the plan, the plan states that the city should provide ongoing stewardship of industrial areas. In particular, they should evaluate new residential development proposals to ensure that the existing industrial operations in the vicinity are protected. And so when you look at what the goals are and what the policies are, it's to make sure that industrial areas are protected and there's stability. And when you start entering into getting rid of the buffer zone, you enter into some issues. And Dallas spoke about a bit of what happened in Edmonton. And we heard the developers state that they want to put these door-on-ground houses as close to Pandora as possible to remove them from the almost the residential area and bring them closer to the industrial area. And when you look at that, you start entering into complaints and nuisance complaints, and there's also the potential of lawsuits. That's when you enter into injunctions to stop the noise complaints. Dominion Crate and Pallet, what they do is they try to minimize their noise. They try to be a good neighbor, but being an M3 classification, there is noise. They're cutting lumber, so there's sawdust, and if there's a windy day, that's going to go across the street. And they want to make sure that there aren't complaints that they're receiving a year or 2 years down the road when the city is since removed, and they're dealing with this with the other landowner in court. Unfortunately, if they build towards the industrial, that's not a defense for my client, is that they moved in and they knew that we were going to make noise. Unfortunately, that's not a defense in court, and they can still get an injunction if the facts fall that way. And when you look at the variance order, when they want an 8-yard front yard, 8-foot front yard, and an iron fence instead of wooden, so now we're opening it up, so it's not even a large wooden fence protecting them from potential debris blowing over. And it's literally right across the street. So land value, you've heard a potential purchaser who's now maybe getting cold feet because there's housing being moved in, and my client wants to protect his land value and his business investment. So if in the future he decides to sell, that hasn't been disturbed. And lastly, I'd like to focus on the parking issue and the variance. It states specifically that there is no visitor parking, and it mentions parking on the street as an option. Now, there's no parking during rush hours, but there is parking on the street during normal business hours. My client is operating large flatbed trucks that are driving up and down the street. Needs to be able to, it's landlocked from every side except for this one entrance from Pandora. And if there's cars parked right across from their gate, that's going to limit their ability to pull out and pull in and do sort of their business operations. It's primarily a truck route to begin with, Pandora, and when we start having visitors and if there's a two-car family parking along the street up and down, it's going to make it pretty difficult for all the businesses and my client to move up and down. So if in the alternative, if you still decide to grant the rezoning and everything, we would ask at minimum that we have some sort of no parking during business hours, 100 or 150 yards in front of my client's gate to permit their large trucks to move in and out.
Sorry, was there anything else?
No, that's all.
All right, any questions for Mr. Spencer? Okay, I don't have any, Mr. Spencer. Thanks very much for your presentation. Also registered in opposition is before you step down, actually, Mr. Spencer, you're representing Dominion, which is beside the prospective site that's being sold, correct?
Right across the street.
No, beside. Beside, right. So yeah.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Beside.
So you're right to the west of the site that the previous person was speaking to.
Yes.
Okay, good. Thanks very much. Registered in opposition, Peter Kaufman. Registered in opposition. Do you wish to speak, Peter?
Yes.
Your name and address for the record.
Peter Kaufman, 150 Beckinsale Bay, Winnipeg. It's different sitting on this side. The most important thing about a city is its people, and the second most important thing about a city is its jobs. And sometimes when you have people and jobs and you have to choose, Sometimes you have to push the people a little bit further away so that you protect the jobs. There's a whole potential for redevelopment on Pandora for jobs along the rail side that will replace some of the jobs that used to be there in the Transcona yards. And if you just make it or try to make it a residential district, then Transcona will lose its vitality of being an employer. And I think the issue that I have is, we're selling a piece of property, and we're bringing in an industry that's going to employ 20 or 30 or 40 people or even more. But also, we're potentially making it so that if this industry did come here, in the future, when they want to build a building, there's going to be setback requirements from the residential of 150 feet. So a third of that property is lost as far as value goes. Because, you have to go to the city for the building permit, and they look at it and say, well, you've got houses over here, and you've got this over here. You're going to have to build your building further back, and you can't use this, and you're going to have to put up some trees and berms and everything else. So you're really putting the onus of the city selling a piece of surplus land. You're foisting it right back on your neighbors across the street that have been paying taxes for years and will continue to do so. That's what I have to say.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
What's your, you can't get away that quickly, Mr.
Sure.
Mayor. The best mayor we never had.
Thank you.
Not in Rome. Your role, Peter, how are you involved?
I'm the agent. I've been looking for a place for the target group for about 2 years. They operate across Canada, and they've identified Winnipeg as a place to come. They need rail service. They needed M3 land, and they needed to be close to the pits. So they found a site that works perfectly for them. They manufacture product that goes in lumber yards, every lumber yard in Saskatchewan, Manitoba, northwestern Ontario. If you've ever seen bags of quickcrete that you see in the section in the lumber yard, they manufacture it. And they make really, really good product. I can attest to that. If you can bear with me, I had some pitted places in my garage floor, and I fixed them myself, which is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And this stuff actually really works.
Like, and it looks okay.
Yeah, it looks wonderful.
Okay. I got a problem, too, so that's
all right.
Just going to know.
I
had nothing to do with cement shoes. I'm glad you're not.
I've got a bag. You can,
anyway.
Borrow some.
Yes, okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter. Good to see you. Any other questions? No. Don Larson, registered in opposition. Do you wish to speak, Mr. Larson? No? Okay. Thank you very much. Anybody else registered? Actually, I'm sorry. Mr. Larson was registered for information. Sorry. Anybody else registered for in opposition? Anybody else registered in opposition? This is your opportunity. Seeing none. Anybody here registered for, other than who I just named, Mr. Larson, information? Anybody registered for information? This is your opportunity. Seeing none. Like the applicants to come back up, and this is your opportunity to speak to any of the. This is your chance to introduce, not to introduce new information, but just to respond to what you might may have heard. And we might have questions still. So.
So the opposition has been entirely from the industrial sites across the street. We know it's obvious that there's an industrial yard across the street. We've taken that into account when we moved here to do this development. It's not something that we can hide from future purchasers. It's something that's immediately evident. The rail yards have been there for generations. They make noise. Residents are accustomed to the noise that the industrial area makes now. So I guess my comment to the noise and related issues is that's a part of the neighborhood, and there's plenty of residential along Pandora, and that's just the way it is. I think Mr.
You got to bring the mic closer to you, just they're having difficulty.
Sorry, Mr. Spencer spoke to issues of noise and
debris blowing and concerns about injunctions, and I think that the city has its own rules and regulations about how much noise they're allowed to make and the hours in which they're allowed to make them, and the city enforces them, and complaints don't supersede the rules that are in place. You know, if someone complains and they're abiding by the rules, then they're not, nothing to fear. As far as debris blowing, nobody wants debris blowing from one site. I'm really asked whether I'm building pallets or concrete products or living there. So they should do something about the debris regardless. That's it. I think they made some comments about trucks and traffic on the street and parking on the street. I don't think that that's a reasonable request. We're not asking to change the parking condition on Pandora. We're not asking to add any parking stalls or alter the existing time frames in which parking is permitted. We've just referred to it. So all we ask is that it stays the same. We're not asking to change anything. The fact that they make use of it in a certain way, I guess that came as a surprise to me, but that said, we're not asking for anything, any special consideration for the street parking. Just leave it the way it is, please.
Okay. Was there anything else you wanted to add? I have some questions, and maybe through the dialogue here.
Sure.
When did you initially make your offer to the city in terms of this property? When was this EOI? It was an expression of interest, I believe, to the city of Winnipeg.
That's right.
Response. How long ago was that?
That's an excellent question. I don't recall entirely, but it's about a year ago.
Wasn't this year.
No, it's more than a year ago.
Well, when we were shortlisted, there was a little bit of back and forth before there was an agreement finally signed, but the EOI was quite some time ago.
Okay. So you submitted your EOI, and then the city didn't get back to you for how long in terms of the submission? How long was that?
4 or 5 months at least.
And then how long did, from the point you submitted it to the point the city actually concluded and awarded you, how long was that roughly?
Another 2 or 3 months at least. I mean, we've been for, I think, 8 months doing investigations on the site and trying to figure out if there's any contamination or the state of the existing buildings and things like that.
Right.
So we've been involved in this process. I don't know. It's got to be 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 years. Yeah. This has been going on, and the city's been aware of that as well, obviously.
Yes. Obviously, yeah. I mean, their EOI was asking for developers to come forward with three-story residential. That was the way that EOI was phrased.
Right. Okay. And have you did environmental testing on the site?
We did phase 1, 2, 3, and 4.
So that took some time, and
it certainly did.
And then you got environmental information. Is there's brownfield that has to be cleaned up here?
Yes, there's some contamination in the soil surrounding the building, and there's some contamination in the building itself with asbestos. So it'll all have to all be remediated prior to the building being torn down, and the soil contamination will have to be removed.
Okay, and that's something you've agreed to do as part of the expression of interest with the city of Winnipeg?
That's correct.
At your expense?
Right. Yes.
So to clean up the brownfield site. In terms of the a few of the issues here, the visitor parking is something. Well, maybe before I jump to that, did you have public consultation meetings?
We had the first one on in the afternoon of Friday. I believe it was November 25th or 26th, whichever was the Friday. And then we had a second one 1 week ago today, Tuesday the 6th, in the evening.
And there's no residents in the room here today opposing it. Were residents at the meeting?
At the first one there was, I think, 8 or 9, and the second one there was about a dozen, maybe 14.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And they were aware of this meeting tonight?
They were aware of this meeting tonight. The sign is posted on the building, and it was part of our advertisement in the local paper. And the handouts that we handed to everybody within a one-block radius.
Okay. The visitor parking issue is a bit of concern. It has to be addressed somehow. Looking at your site, I'm looking at this map here, the one with your showing the 12 buildings, and then there's a close-up, right?
Yeah.
And by the looks of it, roughly, there's enough space to, you have green space at some of the, in terms of the, I'm looking at between the garage, the six-car garages.
That's right.
You have space between the six-car garages, enough to house, by the looks of it, two vehicles.
Yes, and with negotiation with the zoning officer and concerns about location of garbage pickup and providing handicap stalls, we actually subsequently made some slight modifications to the site plan. It's not really represented here. I apologize for that, sir. We took out, there aren't, like this image shows 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20. 22.
There's 12 buildings.
Yeah, so there's 22 stalls back there.
Right, right.
But we've actually brought that down, I think, to 11 so that we can get some landscaping in, so that we can get some handicap stalls in, and so that garbage pickup can be managed in the residential, the normal residential fashion.
So so you're down to 11 stalls available?
Yes, that's right. I think it's 11 or 12. I think there's a total of 84, 72 in the garages, and then an additional 12.
The issue that I read in the report, the ideal is 8 visitor stalls is what they're referring to, I believe. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right, okay. 4 in each lot. Right, okay. So so are you able to provide, like I was just looking at this, and what I did is I just kind of circled kind of every second, you know, yeah, if you follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I said, okay, that would be 2 visitor stalls, right?
Right.
So you basically have a visitor stall per building, roughly.
Sure. So that would be a total of 11.
Right. I got one.
Well, there's 11 gaps.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. I'm counting 12.
Okay.
But does that also then allow you to accommodate garbage?
Yeah, we can actually fit 12 stalls back there and accommodate the garbage.
And accommodate garbage,
we were able to do that, yeah.
Okay, and then the balance of the stalls would be the green space.
That's
ones
correct.
With the sidewalk coming through.
That's correct.
So if I were to make that recommendation, you'd be fine with that?
So just so that I'm clear.
Sure.
The rear property line has parking for 72 cars inside garages.
And inside, six, there's 12.
Six buildings,
12,
yeah.
Just like you have 12 units times six is 72, yeah. Right.
And then between those buildings, there's a combination of surface parking, sidewalk, and garbage pickup locations, enclosures. And what you're asking is 12 stalls in those locations to be designated visitor?
Yeah, I guess, and you know, I'll leave that to for you to bring, when you bring your site plan back here to this committee.
Okay.
I'll just simply indicate you've got 12 buildings, mm-hmm. 12 visitor parking stalls, and how you juggle them, I'll leave that to you.
Okay.
In terms of figuring out where they should go in terms of your garbage, but can you, I guess my question to you now is, if I said 12, can you accommodate 12?
I know I can accommodate 11.
You know you can accommodate 11.
Yes.
Okay, so then I'll make it 11.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, that's what I wanted to ask you. Maybe before I get any further, is there any comments the planners wanted to add or any questions or this point in time?
Any comments on the industrial?
Not yet. Not yet. I'm going to get to that in a minute. The lane issue, I agree with you in terms of when you were citing there, page 17, item number 4. In the site plan, we're going to capture the issue in terms of your approaches coming into the garage. We'll capture the issue of your sidewalks coming into the yards, the issue of having to, number one, widen the lane, and then number two, replace the lane where the lane is in poor condition, according to the planner, I think is, you know, it's extensive. However, I will say that on item 3, I can agree with you there, but on item 3 where it says the bike path recently constructed, the bike path is already in, and that's done. I was of two minds when I was reading the report, which was to say that the sidewalk in the front, because we have the bike path already, to remove the sidewalk and maybe put an extra half an inch layer of asphalt on the bike path. And doing that, I was talking about it with the administration before the meeting. They're suggesting that based on their experience that it's probably better to keep the sidewalk just because of the conflict between modes of transportation. But what I would request, if you're amenable to this, and that, and we can't determine it now, but when the weather is better, is to go and look and at the direction of the Director of Public Works, just replace the sections of sidewalk that need replacing based on its condition. If it's in bad shape, cracked, there'll be sections you'll see which are probably in good shape, sections in bad shape. The whole sidewalk's not in bad shape, I know that, but is that something that you're amenable to or being open to?
Yes, it would be.
Okay, all right. And then the other thing is, I mentioned the sidewalk on the west side, which is on the east side of Hoka, running from Pandora through to Melrose. There's a sidewalk also on the other side, which is it's in, but it's I don't know if one of your pictures here captures it. Which one it is here? It's kind of this one here. You can see that's on the.
That's Madeline, I think.
Right? That's on Madeline, yeah.
Yeah.
That's on the Madeline side, on the west side of Madeline.
Yeah.
You have the sidewalk there, but you can see it's part of. There's a chunk of it where it's part of the approach, almost.
Right.
Coming into the yard. There's another section where you can see the sidewalk's in the boulevard. So it's actually there.
Right.
But it's just that section, I would ask that you know, when you go in there and you clean up the site, that just simply be replaced, basically, or maintained, if that's doable. That's basically from the back lane to the beginning of the boulevard again, if you follow me. Is that?
Yeah. Well, I think, no, that's not a problem.
Yeah. You have the old approaches. The public service is asking you to remove old approaches. Old approaches that exist here, old approaches that exist. There's an old approach on the Hoka side that has to be replaced.
Yeah.
You're aware of that?
Yes.
Okay.
And there's one on Pandora as well, I believe.
And the one on Pandora, there's an approach there. There was a large approach that was removed already, and when the bike path was built, there's still an old, you're right, to the parking lot that's there, the service the public works shared, that would have to be removed, at least one, maybe two. And you're fine with the 6 meter, you're saying, in terms of the water and wasteline item?
Yeah, we actually, I was looking again at my site plan. We actually plotted the location of that easement on our site plan. You can just see it there. It's pretty faint, but it's between, starting from the left, it's between the fifth and sixth buildings. There's two lines there. That's plotted according to the description included in the EOI as to the location of the easement.
Oh, yeah.
And its width. And it would just clears the corners of our two buildings.
So that's the 6 meters that they're asking for,
yeah,
basically?
Yeah.
So they're not asking for a 6 meter strip on either side. They're asking from one corner, extreme corner.
Yeah, it
to
actually
the other.
Extended from an end, because this used to be a whole series of residential lots. Now, again, I don't have any AutoCAD drawing or any site plan from the city telling me where this easement was. It was the text description in the EOI.
Kim, did you have anything you wanted to add? Or?
Now, just so that I'm clear on the location of the easement, is this easement differ than from what was written in the EOI? Because my understanding in the EOI was that the pipe was not land drainage, but was a gas line. That's the way it was written in the EOI. And when we tried to find out further information, we got kind of the runaround because nobody knew what we were talking about. And so the fact that it's a land drainage line is also news to me.
You guys speak up, Kim.
Oh, sorry. My understanding from our water and waste department is that it is a land drainage sewer.
Okay, then it may, frankly, it may not even be in this location. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I plotted this location based on the description of the EOI.
Actually, if you read the words carefully in item one, they're actually asking you to confirm the location of it.
Okay.
Hopefully it's not a gas line.
Yeah.
We're going to find out.
Okay, well.
Well, it says
land drainage.
Fortunately,
it says the developer shall confirm the location.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, our understanding of its location being that in that location, based on the wording in the EOI, we're okay with it. I guess, I don't know. I mean, if it's not there, if it's somewhere else, I guess we'll just have to accommodate it one way or another.
Just out of curiosity, why? What? Okay. How big of a pipe is this?
Because
6 meters seems awfully large.
No, Councillor, the intent is it really doesn't matter the size of the pipe. If it's going to be 8 or 10 feet underground, you have to get a piece of construction equipment in there to dig. If you have to dig, you literally need a footprint for a machine and to pile dirt somewhere and a truck to haul stuff away, et cetera. It's a working room is what it is.
That's 18 feet, though, eh? 6 meters, right?
It's 20 feet.
20 feet?
Yeah.
So yeah. I guess all I can say is that we'll work to accommodate it. The pipe's there. We're not going to encroach on the pipe.
But don't we normally grant 5 meters? Isn't that what we normally do?
No.
It's always 6 meters?
Six. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You're aware that you have a site plan to bring back here in terms of if this committee approves this today, a site plan has to be brought back in terms of the parking, you know, everything from the bicycle parking they refer to, the landscaping, you know, you've got the facades already to a certain extent here, but the materials in terms of what you're using there. You're aware of that?
I am, yes.
Okay. And can you submit that to the city within 60 days?
I can, yes.
Okay. So it can be considered by this committee as soon as possible. When do you intend on starting construction?
As soon as we get all of our approvals here, our intention is to apply for a building permit right away.
Okay.
And once the permit is granted, then we would start.
Okay. And so you'd be working, hopefully starting construction. You're hoping what for what?
In the spring.
Spring is what your hope is? Okay. Okay. Does anybody else have any other questions? No? All right. Thanks very much, gentlemen. I'm going to take the chair.
Sure.
Okay. Before I move any motions, I'll just... speak to the item because we heard some delegations and from some industry, which the legal representatives as well as potential industry that might be looking to move into the community. We also have a letter or an email from CN Rail placing their objections on record as well. Myself as a newly elected councillor in my first term, spearheaded with the Department of Planning, Property and Planning, the Transcona Yard secondary plan, which was being quoted earlier today, out of a need to try to address issues in terms of conflict and future growth and development in the community in terms of the industrial yards. We involved members of industry at that time. We involved the residents at that time. It wasn't an easy task. The area is an older area. In terms of its zoning, you have literally M3 zoning right up against residential R1 zoning across the street. And it goes back to the history of the community when Transcona was formed. The railway was there first with the M3 zoning, a heavy industrial zoning. This land that's in question now, which has evolved across the street, evolved into other uses, was originally railway land. The railway had acquired it for the purpose of the railway, zoned it to the highest industrial use, And then the town of Transcona literally grew across the street because that's where the folks worked. And back then, of course, nobody complained about noise or smoke or engines blowing, because that was jobs and that was bread and butter on the table. And of course, over time, things change and the community evolves. And so there was a need to revisit because of the issues coming out of that process. And I'm fairly familiar, actually I'm quite familiar with the document because I was involved with it. It was subject to a public hearing, which actually came before us, and it was subject to a bylaw, which actually went before Winnipeg City Council. And one of the key principles in the document was to recognize that there is a need for the idea of live, work, and play, that you have a community where ideally you don't have to have people commute, you know, tens of kilometers away to get to work, that you could still have a community where people can go to work and live in the community, but at the same time that you try to soften the impact in terms of industrial against residential. So it was rightly pointed out earlier by one of the presenters about the concept of softening zoning, and one of the ideals that we enshrined in the document was to recognize, and Sienna, as I mentioned, was involved, was recognize that the core of the industrial yards is heavy industrial, it's M3 zoning. That was the history of the CN, and to maintain that. However, on the periphery, meaning the south side of Pandora or the north side of Dugald or on the western and eastern ends of the property of this huge area which took in the old original CN lands, was to try to soften zoning in the future to try to basically create that zoning effect which did not have that stark contrast between M3 and R1, which you have today. And so we encourage the concept of going towards lighter industrial in terms of the zoning on the south side of Pandora, moving away from M3, going to M2 or M1, or even commercial. And we've also, and on the same side, encouraged it on the other side, more from a residential standpoint, more on the other side of the street, moving away from R1 single family to multiple family or commercial on the north side of Pandora to create that buffering effect that was referred to here today. Thus the reason why the City of Winnipeg actually went forward with an expression of interest on City of Winnipeg land to encourage multiple family on this site, because of the fact that R1 was just not appropriate on a site like this to create the fact that single family lots against heavy industrial doesn't make sense. No different than in a city, we'll put multiple family properties near major roadways, expressways, because we recognize that that's the nature of that type of development near such roadways. So we've recognized that. And it's always a challenge to deal with this. I'm glad to hear that an industry is looking at the community and looking at options to find. I have a huge amount of respect for Mr. Kaufman, who was here before us today. And I've known him for years, and I'm sure he's doing a good job for you. The challenge we're trying to find here is trying to strike that balance, which is not very easy to do. I can tell you, it works out great. You know, further down the street we had Granny's Poultry come, which I think Peter was involved with this as well, and put them there. And there you had an issue where we went down from bringing their corporate headquarters, so. Maybe not as noisy to go from an M3 down to an M1, I believe it was, and a little hatchery in the back. And so, you know, sometimes you can get the transitions a little easier. I'm not too sure what the future is in terms of what Target's looking at. I do know, for example, that on that same property earlier this year, I was getting calls from other agents who were looking at doing multiple family and talking about multiple family on that 7 acres of property that has been up for sale for some time. So. And again, based on if you look at the document, I suppose you can interpret every secondary plan differently, but if you look at the secondary planning document, you can definitely interpret it along those lines. So, and we left the flexibility in there to allow for the city to grow and to address issues like this and in a hearing like this. So, you know, it's not an easy issue in terms of that. However, I guess I am driven by the fact that that we, as a city, entered into good faith. We went forward. We did an expression of interest, our city administration, to look at this property and to, based on their advice, to sell it and to encourage the sale for mobile family. This is a brownfield site, as was pointed out. It is a site which requires cleanup in the community. It was created as a brownfield site, not just by the city of Winnipeg, but by industries that previously used this. This was actually the original site. This was forestry, and prior to that, it was actually the site of the City Hall of Transcona. The building on the site is the old City of Transcona City Hall and Public Works Yards, which back then they combined into one because they were very efficient back then. They were their own municipality. And, you know, and so there's a lot of history, and there's a lot of contamination that goes with them, and then with industry that had the site prior to that. So this is an opportunity to clean the site up. I'm happy to see that the applicant had public consultations in the neighborhood and did it twice in the afternoon and the evening. I'm pleased to see the fact that folks vote with their feet quite often, that they're not here. Their obviously concerns were addressed that night. That sometimes you get the NIMBY effect in neighborhoods. We see that all the time, and we really don't have the NIMBY effect here. And so I'm gonna be approving the application tonight. I'm gonna make some changes to it. But I want to really stress, I guess, to the industry here that, you know, things will change and things do change, but there is a way to work in terms of working with the community. You know, there's always challenges in terms of that, but we've shown where we can rise above that at times. We have at the other end of the street New Flyer. New Flyer has an advisory committee set up with residents where we've actually worked with residents and New Flyer to try to address issues with the industry right across the street. As was pointed out, CN has invested $9 to $10 million in the last year alone. They've gone from 300 employees to 500 employees. They're investing back in the community. I think the community is very excited about that and positive about it. So we see an industrial role. My hope is that if new businesses do come into the area, that they take that in consideration, that even if this land were to not be rezoned today, there would still be a buffering effect required because you're only 100 feet away, even without these buildings up to residential backyards of homeowners who've been there for decades. So there still has to be that higher level of construction and design standard when new industry comes into the area that may not have been the case when CN came in 100 years ago. So that would have to be addressed, not whether this occurred or not. So those are my comments, Mr. Chairman. I've handed the chair to Councilor Rawati so I can move a motion on this matter. I'm going to move that the Winnipeg Public Services report be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I'm going to move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I'm going to move that the public services report be concurred in with the following changes, namely to the ACG report. I'm going to move that item 3, which is referring to the refunding of the bike path, which has never been done before in the city, it be deleted completely. Item 4, referring to the back lane, repairing the existing back lane, which again, I'm not aware of any time we've done this in terms of requiring property owners on an existing back lane to repave our back lanes. So delete that its entirety. I would add the following clauses, though.
So we'll delete number 4 in its entirety as well?
Yeah, number 4 in its entirety as well, because it's referring to this. The issue in terms, there's two issues in number 4. The issue in terms of the concrete, cement, pavement, widening the back lane, that's going to be addressed when the site plan comes back and they show the approaches onto the driveway, when they show the approaches into the visitor parking, which I'm going to speak to in a minute. And the second part of that, number 4, which was to repave the back lane where the director, Public Works, requires it, that's unprecedented. I've never seen that before. So I'm going to delete those two items. I'm going to add the following, though, and that is I'm going to require, as part of the when the site plan comes back for approval, that it includes 11 visitor parking stalls. I'm going to amend this by saying that the developer will be responsible for replacing the poor sections of the sidewalk on Pandora Avenue West, on the north side of Pandora Avenue West, as deemed by the Director of Public Works. I'm going to move that the item number 5, which refers to the sidewalk being constructed on the east side of Hoka from Melrose to Pandora. I'm going to add to that, and the sidewalk be constructed on the west side of Madeline from the back lane to, it's not to Pandora, it's to the beginning of the, where the boulevard exists again, because you have that approach. Basically where the approach is, yes. Yeah.
I'm sorry. The sidewalk on the east side of Madeline is already covered in Clause 2.
Is it in Clause 2?
Yes.
Okay.
I might also add, while I've got your attention, is if you're not going to require widening the pavement in the back lane, then item A1, the plan considerations, can be deleted as well. So the
okay. Oh, thank you. Okay. All right. So I'll move that item A1 be deleted as well. Because that's very, yeah. The main reasons again for that is the back lane is not the only way to access these properties. If it were, then we'd have a concern, but it's not.
Can we just clarify then on item number 5? Then
item number 5. Where is it included in the ACG on the sidewalk?
In item 2, Councillor, where the developer is required to remove the existing private approaches serving the subject property and restore the curb, boulevard, and sidewalk, plant trees as required at all locations. So that includes...
Oh, so that's covering those approaches?
Yes.
Those private approaches. Okay, I appreciate that. All right, then, yes, you don't need to... You can leave item... Sorry about that, Carlos. You can leave item 5. So...
And can you just clarify also on the 4 sections that you required to be replaced on Pandora Avenue? Is there a certain stretch that you want that?
No. It'll be basically the developer be responsible for replacing the poor sections of the sidewalk on Pandora. And I emphasize poor, the sidewalks stretches that are in poor condition, which is as determined by the Director of Public Works.
And that's just within this section in front
of
the...
Yeah, that's right, from Madeline to Hoka, or from Hoka to Madeline, on the north side. There's only one sidewalk anyways there. It's on the north side, so.
Okay.
And a site plan, I will say that the site plan, I'm going to move also an amendment that the site plan subject, the site plan be submitted to the city within 60 days to be brought back to this committee as soon as possible. And I will note, I'm not going to move an amendment to that, but I will note that it'd be nice to see a bit of culture stone or some sort of, the facade is pretty well, by the looks of it, it's two-tone color, and you've got windows at the top, and you've limited, I understand why you've done that in terms of the main floor, the windows there, but you've got siding there by the looks of it or some sort of siding. I'd like to see it dressed up a bit in terms of some sort of culture stone, just to... not the entire facade, but if you look at what's been done elsewhere in the community, what's been done right down here on the street on Henderson Highway with condos right on the side of Henderson, something to that effect. But we'll deal with that in when we bring forward the site plan. Is there anything the public service wanted to mention or add at this point? Was there anything the public service wanted? Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I should be letting you jump in.
Okay.
And again, I moved that, and the supporting reasons are this. I spoke to them already, but this is consistent with the Transcona Yards secondary plan. We are trying to encourage density in the community, especially in older neighborhoods. This will allow for this older neighborhood to renew. This area of Transcona, if you look at what the planners when they look at demographics, this is the so-called Melrose Avenue. Historically, it has had some of the lowest incomes in terms of the entire community. This will allow for renewal of this area and allow at the same time for affordable housing versus some of the condo prices we've seen elsewhere. The ability for people to walk and ride their bikes. We have an active transportation path that we've built in the last year that runs on the north side from Plessy all the way to downtown Transcona. This ties into the whole revitalization we've been working on in terms of renewing the old downtown, making it a commercial hub of the community that it once was, and rebuilding from the years and years of neglect and the loss of 5,000 railway jobs over the last 30 or 40 years. And renewing that older downtown has been a big part of that. This plays directly to, works directly with that, and will help that. In terms of cleaning up an old industrial yard, this project will facilitate that. It's a brownfield site, and allow us to enhance an existing site, which is right now in deplorable condition, so deplorable that the building itself has actually been used by the fire department for practices in terms of putting out fires, and the police department in terms of emergency rays with smoke devices in there. That's how bad it is. It's an eyesore. It's a terrible state. Buildings are graffitied. You have fencing which is half falling over, half falling out. You have garbage in the lot. It is a place that can attract problems in the future if it's not dealt with. It's good to see, and I want to thank the developer, A&S Homes, in particular for the fact that they've taken the time and the energy to go through this process. It's taken a long time. I understand from what was said that there's been the challenges with the property, challenges with the environmental parts of this property. Appreciate the willingness of A&S to invest in the community and to try to make this happen on a challenging site. And I know from the history of this community where we've always had business industry next to residential, we can make it work. There are ways to do it. I welcome new industry coming to the community. I just think there should be an understanding, appreciation of where we've been trying to go as a city. And we're definitely looking for new industry to come to the city and to invest in the city. It's just got to be a question of making it work and on the right site. So hopefully that can be done too in the future. If this site is not the right site for Target, we as a city have tried and worked to find areas which are appropriate and available. We've invested in building industrial parks to the city as part of that plan to find lands. We do have lands available for industrial areas in the city and close to the very issues that were referred to this evening. So this is a long process. I know the applicant mentioned that he had a filed an application previously and there was going to be a hearing scheduled. He withdrew it. I made note of that, that he went from 96 units previously now down to 72 units. So he's reduced the density, and I think that's appreciated by the neighborhood. I think the other thing that's appreciated is the fact that this land right now is zoned M1. And that means, as was rightly pointed out, you could put a five-story building up on this land with zero lot lines. This is a major improvement to the neighbors beside them on the north side and also on the east and west sides. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll move the approval of the plan as amended.
Okay, motion's been heard. All's in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And I'll move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All's in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Please note that the committee has made a recommendation on this matter that will now proceed to council. No further representations are permitted, and all persons registered for the public hearing will receive notice when the matter is considered by council.
On the variance, I'll move that the public service report be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I'll move that receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I'll move that. Do I need to move any changes here in terms of the visitor parking, or is that?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
So then we would basically be deleting the requirement for no visitor parking.
Yeah, and this is where
lots
we're going
to. One and two?
Right, we're going to add a total of for lots one and two, a total of 11 visitor parking stalls.
So you want to add that as a condition? So then we'd
right.
be deleting part 2C and adding a condition that this variance shall be subject to a total of 11 parking stalls.
Visitor parking stalls.
Visitor parking.
Don't delete the variance because we're granting the variance based on lot one and two. It sounds like you want 11 visitor parking lots in total.
Right. But I put that, I amended that in the subdivision rezoning. Do I need to do anything here?
No, I think you want to still grant that variance, but because, trust me, if I get into a long discussion about the zoning, the way the zoning bylaw applies.
You're talking about design and depending on whether and where
yeah,
the
he wants 11 parking spots, but they could all be on one, lot one or all on lot two, whatever the design says. But if I don't have that variance in there, then it requires four on each lot.
But then we can't.
Oh, I see. So you need this variance in here.
I need that variance. But as a condition of granting that variance, you want 11 parking visitor parking stalls, but anywhere on the property.
Correct.
Yes, so I need that variance.
Okay. And you want that condition in there?
Yes. Well, to fulfill what he wants. If you don't grant that variance, then it's four on each lot is required, and I can't treat it as a district-wide basis. I got to treat it on each individual lot.
Okay. So do you?
It's just a technical thing.
You got
oh,
that?
Oh, no, I understand what he means, but okay, yeah. If somebody's reading this order, they're going to think that I messed up.
Yeah, I know. But the zoning, officer, the zoning officer won't, and
I know. I understand what you're saying.
Okay, so so we're amending it as so we're keeping the clause the way it reads now, but we're
yes. And add a condition that you want 11 parking.
But adding a condition that number three, 11. Number condition number two,
yeah.
That there shall be a 11
parking stalls.
Visitor parking stalls. Visitor yeah. Parking stalls.
Servicing.
On the planned area, within the planned area.
Within the planned area. Yeah.
That's perfect.
All right. Yeah.
And then in brackets, I'm going to put both lots. Total
yeah.
Both lots.
Yeah.
Yes.
On lot
yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
That way
okay.
Come in and they're all on lot one or they're all on lot two.
Gotcha.
Looking at on the ground, not the legal boundaries.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
That's so I move it that, Mr. Chairman, with that change amendment.
Okay, all's in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, carried.
And the supporting reasons are the same.
Okay, all's in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, carried.
And I move this hearing concluded.
All's in favor?
Aye.
Opposed,
aye.
Carried. Please note that the committee's decision with respect to this application may be appealed. Should you wish to appeal, information on how to do so will be included in the order issued, which will be mailed to all persons registered.